Welcome to the How Did We Get Here podcast, where your thought gets caught. Apparently, your phone does too. It's your boy, Marwane.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, Gabe. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's doing well. Y'all week is great. Awesome. You guys are blessed and highly lifted, like I always say. And this week, we have a guest. We have a guest this week. This is our second guest for our podcast, and I am so excited that we have this person. We have known, Mara and I have known this individual for quite some time.
Long time.
Long time. And, you know, we are so excited to have him. I can talk for myself. I'm so proud of him personally and his growth and everything that you're doing. But without further ado, we have my friend Robbie Rocketton in the building.
Rob C. Not Rob C.
Okay, this nigga's like, I don't know why we gonna keep on bringing up Diddy, but he's like Diddy. He come up with different names every 2 seconds, you know.
You gotta rebrand yourself and reinvent yourself.
For sure.
Other than Diddy, whatever he's doing, we don't care about him. Right. We love to see it, friend.
Yes, but hey, y'all, I'm glad to be here.
Welcome. Yes.
In the coffee house.
Come on, coffee house, okay? You in the how did we get here, okay?
How did we get here?
Let
podcast.
Your thought get caught.
Yes. I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all been doing y'all shit. You know, so I'm happy to be here and get into it.
Thank you so much, friend. So let's get things started. We always start off with our episodes on how things are with everyone during this week and how everybody's been mentally and all of that. So let's start off with our guest since we have somebody new. So, friend, how have you been this week? What's been going on? What's been happening? I know that you just recently had a show this past week as well. So what's the tea?
I'm just busy, you know, moving and shaking and moving, working. It was a busy week. I had a performance. I've been filming this docuseries that I'm on, The Circle NYC.
Shout out to The Circle.
Yeah, season 7 out now. We're currently filming season 8, so it's been crazy. So, yeah, just been busy, trying to stay productive.
How is the seasons going? How is the filming going?
Child, it's tea. It is definitely tea. Season 6, I came in a certain energy. Season 7, I kind of fell back from it, just to deal with, you know, personal things. And then season 8, I clocked the fuck in. So, you know, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be
so. Just so everyone's on the same page, this is your third season that you're working on.
This is my third season.
Okay,
that I will be on. All right. I guess we can announce because, season 8 is coming this summer. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
And you guys are currently filming.
Yeah, we're almost done. I think the reunion is actually next month.
So. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so it's been
explosive. Where's the reunion going to be at?
Somewhere in New York City.
Okay.
Some studio, I'm sure. But, yeah, so it's been fun. It's been fun. But, yes, I had a performance where, you know, we were filming for that. It went well. You know, I was a little lit. But I had a good time at Boxers, Chelsea. So, yeah, it was a busy week.
We love to see it. Sometimes being a little lit is okay, but you know. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I just need to get lit after the performance. That's
right,
just what,
right.
You know, and after the filming.
It might work a little bit better.
You know?
Might work a little bit better.
Because, child.
I mean, one thing, you know, I've gone to many of your performances.
Yes.
So, you know. Most of the time, you be drinking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do be drinking a cocktail. So I'm like, most of the time, you actually perform your ass off. So you do a very good job. So, I mean,
This was my first performance in a minute. So I think that was part of it. Maybe
you're a little nervous. Yeah. Gotcha.
A little rusty. Maybe a little self-conscious. Like, oh, I'm feeling like a little heavy. Like, I don't know. A lot of different feelings, maybe.
But you still a bad bitch, and y'all know that you still kill it. So if you guys haven't heard Robbie Rockington's music, it's really good. He is a artist that has been an artist for a very long time since, like I said, I've known Rob since elementary school.
Childhood.
So, you know, and he's always been doing music. So And now, if you guys want to check out The Circle, it's out on YouTube. You know, I've been watching The Circle since season one, so it's a very good show. So, you know, I could definitely, you know, I'll rep for it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all be doing y'all big one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so you've been on for the last three seasons, so I'm sure you probably done spiced that up a little bit.
You got to have fun.
I know Rob, so, you know.
I mean, contrary to popular or unpopular belief, child, I guess the girls are saying one of the boring girls, which is funny because they all want to be my friend. But, you know, well, I don't know how that worked. But I feel like I came in and I remember my first scene, like we were, well, not my first scene, but like the first scene where we shook things up. Just briefly, like we were talking about this project we were doing and just all this. It just felt so like, all right now, like where's the, like let's like spice it up. And the girls was being mixy behind the scenes. So I just, you know, was like, wait, that's your best friend, but you just said this. You know, you got to kind of.
Right, you got to shake the table.
Shake the table. You know, bring the bone back.
Shake the table.
And child, that kind of like shake set the dynamic, table. I think, for my role on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're like Giselle.
I mean, I'm just me, but I think in terms of like, there's people who have their own storylines, but they may not necessarily have a beef or a certain dynamic with like another cast member. I think that made a dynamic with one of, I mean, some people might consider him one of the stars of the show. I consider him, you know, he's just on the show. But Gio Royal, he and I, that kind of like set the tone for our back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Which you'll see how that progresses through season 7 a little bit, and then definitely in season 8. So, yeah, like I've had fun. I'm just being myself. I think that's the most important thing, is to be yourself and to really connect with people, and not try to like if some of these girls be searching like for an issue and searching for a moment. It's like, no, just let it flow naturally. Like if you know it'll happen.
That's facts. Well, I'm looking forward to see what's happening on the show and everything that that you have planned. So, you know, we're going to talk more about it later on during the episode. So, Mar, how was your week, friend? What you been going through in your life?
Well, I'm telling you, I told you I had a stressful week. It wasn't that it was too stressful. It was that the kids are home from spring break. They have spring break. So, you know, a 9 and 3-year-old, you know, running around, you know, you got to try to figure out activities. I'm working full time. So, so Wendy, you know, spending majority of the time with the kids, and she's overstimulated, you know what I mean? So, you know, not to say that she can't handle it, but, you know, as a partner, I feel that. So, you know, it just, you know, when I'm home, it's the same thing. So I get it. So that, but work, man, it's like, I feel like more often, my thought is, how do I become a millionaire? Like, well, how do I become a billionaire?
Right.
Because, like, boy, I
work is a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, but that's neither here nor there. But I feel like I'm truly blessed.
That's blessed.
That ultimately, you know, I may not have it 100% down pat right now, but I'm on the way to figuring it out. And it's not even really so much about figuring it out, but it's just about, you know, making it work for you. Because if it works for you, then it should work for those around you. Because if you're thriving, then those around you are going to, you know, just domino effect, ultimately thrive right behind you. So that's just where my mindset's been for the last week. And just, you know, just we're going to keep it going.
Yeah, I love that. Praise the Lord.
How about your week? What's your week like? Because you was talking a little bit about it earlier, so I think we can actually kind of like do a continuation from last week.
My week was swell.
Go ahead.
Swell.
My week has been swell. I moved into my new place.
Yes. Congratulations.
Woo! Yes, I got a new place. It is beautiful. I love it. It's amazing. I really can't complain. God has been really good. And I've been just getting that in order, getting my house in order, literally. What else have I been doing? I've been working. Work has been pretty swell. It's been really picking up as far as this season. I have some side stuff that I'm working on with a few of my friends that I can't really talk about, but it's been...
Maybe we'll get into it.
Nar!
Y'all done bought the star of the circle, girl. I bring the mess.
Nar! But no, even like this week, this weekend was really good. What did I do this weekend? I went to the city, but I helped out with an event, which was really, really fun. So, yeah, life has been good. Just like what Mar has been saying, you know, niggas has been, their mindset has been getting to the bag and how to get to be a millionaire and, yes. you know, really trying to get generational wealth started. For me, you know what I'm saying? My motto and one of my, I'm not going to say resolutions, but one of my missions is to be debt-free by the end of 2026. I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's probably one of my major plans is to be debt-free.
You said end of 2026?
By the end of 2026.
All right, so a year and a half.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, even if you're not completely debt-free, at least if your debt is cut in half, you're still, you know.
I want to be debt-free.
I like that's a good idea. But you know what? No, it's just about staying positive because
you have to give yourself grace.
What if you get to the end of 2026 and you're not completely debt free? Now, did you fail?
No, but however, I still will have the mindset that that's what I want.
Fair.
And that is what I'm going to succeed to get. Period. You know what I'm saying? So that's the goal. So you know that's really what my mindset is and where I'm trying to get to. So. Yeah, you know, a nigga been blessed. You know what I'm saying? Like I said the last time, a bitch still look good. You know what I'm saying? You know, okay. In the gym and shit. You know what I'm saying? My birthday next month and shit. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Hello.
It's about to be Gemini season. You feel me? You know, we about to be out here and shit. You know what I'm saying?
This is outside.
You know, it's about to be a real good fucking time. You know what I'm saying? My DS is open. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
You
know? So how did it get started?
All that shit.
How did we get started? Next segment. Here we go.
But you know, yeah. But so, like I was saying before, y'all, Rob, you want me to call you Rob, Robbie? What you Robbie. Want, honey?
You okay. can call me whatever you want.
Because you know, honestly,
you call me Rob.
Just don't call me
honestly. Rob and I, Rob and I are very, very close. I actually don't call him Rob. I call him Rue.
Right.
So. So I was actually about to call your ass Rue, but you know, we're going to call you Rob. We're going to call you by your stage name. Yeah, because truthfully, thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
Cutie, call me what you want to call me, cutie.
So we can talk about that real quick. So like I said, Rob and I, we call each other Rue and Cutie. If you guys have ever seen Low Down Dirty Shame, I watched the movie. And if you guys ever remember the part with, I think his name was Pookie or like Cutie.
House of Beauty, this is Cutie.
So he used to answer the phone. And he used to be like, House of Beauty, this is Cutie. And I always thought that was funny. So I always used to answer the phone from that point on. I used to be like, House of Beauty, this is Cutie. So I call myself Cutie. And then Rue is Rudy. And then one of my, actually... Mars, but you so mad that you don't got a name. Look at your face. You
no,
so
that's
mad.
Moody.
Right. Okay. Moody. Because yeah, you look at your goofy ass face. Okay. Because your sister is beauty because she's beautiful. Yes.
Okay. T is Tootie.
Yeah. Okay. We had a whole little house over here. Yeah, we could have been doing ballroom if we wanted to.
No
okay.
All right. Anyway,
it's the premier house.
So how did we? So let's talk about how we all like started and how we all became so close. Obviously, if you guys remember when we started in our first episode, we talked about how Mar and I became so close through music. So we did discuss you in the first episode, as saying talk about ELOG and how you know we did that and how we did stuff in middle school. So let's discuss that. So. I want y'all to talk about ELOG first and foremost, because I feel like that both of you guys probably have the best or most relationship as far as music. So how did that start?
I mean, you want to take it?
I mean, to be honest.
I didn't meet Rob. When did you come from
Red
Bank?
We didn't meet through music in third grade. I was in third grade. You were in fourth grade.
We met through sports.
I remember.
And just being
no,
kids outside.
No, I'm going to tell you where I met your ass.
Well, we met with
outside.
Fist. With Fist.
No, not right
I think
away.
Pretty sure.
Can we wait till we take our time?
Well, let me tell you how I remember.
Go ahead,
let me tell you how it started for me.
Jesus.
I remember I was hanging out with Haley McKenzie.
Oh, shout out to Haley.
And literally, that was like one of the first, her and Jamie, those were like the first bitches I hung out with in Twinbrook. And
why they gotta be all that?
I remember this little deep voice little boy just came over. He had the biggest Adam's apple. He was only like, what, like 12? And maybe younger. And I just remember, like, I was just looking at him like, he's going to be an issue. Because, like, he just, you know, Jamar always looked mean. Like, he always got the mean mug. You know what I'm saying? And I remember we was just outside, and I don't remember what we did or whatever, but that was the first time I met Jamar. Then through there, like, I guess we just hung out, whatever. But I do remember we got into a scuffle.
That was in the snow, right?
It was in the snow.
I had to put them paws on. I didn't know about this scuffle, y'all. I did not know it. Because y'all remember, I couldn't go outside.
You know, you was
so definitely. But I remember I won. But
what happened?
we was kids. Yeah,
like,
was.
This had to be fifth grade. No.
What was this fight about?
Maybe from a football game. Remember, or just talking shit.
I remember it was definitely young. It was in our circle. So y'all was a little ways out of y'all way because your grandparents lived all the way over by the orange buildings.
Yeah.
You had no business being over there anyway. But yeah.
See, that was the problem. You know what I mean? To be everybody
it was snowing. Niggas probably throwing snowballs or something. I don't know.
I think that was it. I think it was a snowball.
Somebody probably got popped with a snowball.
And you know, because you know, I'm naturally gifted, so we got to fight now.
Wow.
Like, don't touch the face.
And yeah. And then from there, I mean, that was like probably like one of our, because I don't know what the fuck he was talking about with Haley and all that.
That was the first time
that's
I met
him. In his mind.
No, that was, I remember.
What I remember was we had to put the paws on each other in the snow.
Like, I remember what you was wearing and everything. Thing.
And literally after that, though, the very next encounter, we were cool.
Yeah.
We were cool. And we played outside. We played ball. Like, Rob was no joke on the field. Mm-hmm. Basketball, court, didn't matter. Like, Rob is athletically gifted when we were kids. And
good for you.
You know what I mean? Like, he definitely held his own in that aspect. And somewhere along that, you know, building that relationship and that friendship through that, just being kids, we figured out that we like music. Yeah. We like it a lot. And we clicked with other, you know, kids around our age, Mike Massey.
Yeah, I was going to say Michael Step, and I.
You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, I think Step came a little bit later on because he probably didn't live in Twinbrook around that time. Yeah, yeah, word.
I didn't even rehearse for it.
Well, it goes way back. So, mm-hmm. We just clicked with other kids that really like music, and we saw certain things around us at that time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if B5 is out yet, but we still like.
I think those were like B2K days.
Pretty Ricky. I remember Pretty Ricky. Was definitely a group that we
definitely Pretty Ricky.
Sure. Yeah. And we was like, well, why not? You know what I mean? Like, and me and Rob, like, literally when we were young as hell, and all the way until like our teen years, used to like. Whole hours would just sit and just write music. Mm-hmm. Literally write music, bounce off of each other and just write music.
We was in middle school hustling. I was actually in my email the other day, and I was like in middle school sending like emails to grown ass niggas like, hey, listen to our music, sign us.
VIP, what was the name of that artist? What was his name? What was his name?
Bravo Danger. Bravo Danger. That was where I was going. So
we talked about it on the other episode, how we had bought the beat. Mike's mom had bought the beat.
God rest her soul. She became our manager along, you know, once we become
a. So what grade was this? I just want to like.
I want to say middle school. Like, I was in sixth, he was in seventh, Michael was in eighth.
Okay.
And then, because I remember Michael graduated. Yeah, that's like when it started.
That was my shit.
But think about it, though. Like, and that's kind of like where you even almost kind of like start to see like just a tiny little bit of like separation and divide. Like, because then that was around the time when, you know what I mean, Mike's mom had just
passed away. Yeah.
You know, and we wasn't prepared for that. That just came out of nowhere. And then from there, I was even saying in early episodes, I started focusing more on football, right? And then you were just like, nah, I'm with this music. And that's what it is.
Yeah, I remember. I remember Jahad got in the group.
At one point,
like right before we disbanded.
I tried to tell y'all they had that fucking group, like making the band. And niggas they was changing. It. They was not like changing me fucking members like Diddy. They was literally Diddy changing members. But this is literally what it was.
All right, but enough.
Y'all literally kept changing members like it was a fucking show. We was trying show. To make it.
Really? I was telling people. Like,
it was about 20 niggas.
We used to jog around Twinbrook.
Yeah.
And like rapping and reciting our actual music just to get our wind up to prepare ourselves to perform on stage.
Remember, tell you, Mike's
mom, with no actual training.
Mike's mom would drive us around the state, up to the city, up to New York, to perform for different A&Rs and stuff.
But that's dedication, though, because that's that's also the reason why that you probably are where you are now as far as still passionate for your music. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's something that I want to ask you. Like, what... Because of the fact that, like, obviously ELOG kind of went their separate ways and you guys did what you guys wanted to do. You even,
make a documentary
at one point, you even added Wendy into ELOG.
No, that was different.
Oh, was that something different that y'all did?
So what would happen was when we disbanded, when, like, Jamar officially was like, I'm not doing music no more, I think Stefan, I remember him and Stefan had, like, a little argument. Stefan went his separate way. Me and Michael was still trying to figure out what we was going to do.
Yeah.
I wasn't stopping. I actually had us a showcase with my old manager, Joe Warren, and I did the showcase solo, and, you know, I ended up meeting my dad was there. He was, like, my manager at the time, and I remember, like, I got a call back. I brought JD. Y'all know JD. He don't fuck with me now, but I put him on.
Oh, wow, like, that man.
Yeah, he's weird, so we're not going to talk about him, but... But what I will say is I got us a showcase, and I remember Joe Warren, he wanted me to, like, build, like, an R&B group around me. And I'm like, well, I actually want to rap. Like, I was always telling him I want to rap. And he's like, no, we're going to get you vocal lessons. We're going to do this. You're going to sing. I'm like, but I still was writing raps. And then I was writing for Kenny. I was writing for JD. I was writing Michael. Started getting back into it, but he was always different. Like, he was never the same Michael from, like, the original ELOG. Mm-hmm. But long story short, we became ELOG, the four of us, and we was doing shit. Like, this man had us doing 60 birthday parties, weddings. We was in the studio with Quincy Jones, people, and, like, so we were doing stuff, but it was a shiesty situation. That situation, you know, that stopped me from being able to do certain things. Then that situation kind of subsided, and I just was a solo artist. Oh, no. Then from there, we got back together. Me and Jamar would start, you know, right. Me, JD, and Wendy created Swag City. And then.
Oh, that's what it was called.
That broke up. Mm-hmm. And then. Jamar, I remember
that.
And it the songs me and Jamar was writing, I'm like, this is Swag City. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the three of us, we started working with these two amazing producers.
We just had that, when we got together and started writing, like, because it was just going back to the old days. Like, we just was able to bounce off of each other with the ideas and concepts and shit that we came up with. Like, we was, really putting together songs. It wasn't just writing.
Yeah, not just raps. Yeah. Like, we were putting together songs, like, right. Intoxicated.
And then we added Wendy to the mix, and it was just like, damn, we never actually had this before when it was just us. Like, when we were younger, it was just the guys. We was able to add that female aspect to it, and we was like, you know what? We might have something here. And then remember, Lasantra was trying to get down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she was our manager at one point, you know what I mean? Like,
people. Oh, okay.
what was their name? What was their name? Pat and Chad.
I still speak to them to this day.
You know what I mean? Like, we was like, yo, we might have something here. And then... And then what happened with that?
I think fast forward to today, you got two kids.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happened. If you really want to put the cheese on the cracker to know what happened, your ass wanted to be lustful.
They ain't want to be Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Okay, y'all wanted to be Beyonce and Jay-Z and said,
Beyonce and Jay-Z still on tour. They got Rumi, Sir, and Blue. Girl,
okay, now y'all want to be Chef Boyardee and motherfucking Chef
look.
Pam.
We still, and then still, fast forward to after Leilani, we still came through Celebration.
Right, so I was going to say, I think what happened was I just got to a point where I went through so many groups and was like, not that like I felt like our group was holding me back, but it just, I felt like at least if I tried on my own, like, I can't blame nobody but myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what happened with that and then just life. But we always, like, spoke about music and maybe bringing back this and doing that. And then they got on my debut project, Celebration. So it's, you know, it's always there. Like, I feel like with me, Wendy, and Jamar, we had something special that we always can come back and do. It's family. So right. We can always come back and do music. With them other ones, besides Michael, I wish them well. But, you know, it's just, that's a testament to, like, for me, I feel like I put a lot of people in position to do things, and they shitted on me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, those people, and I still even tried to work with them after the mm-hmm. fact. So that's why I only want to speak, like, kind of touch on that is because that put a bad taste in my mouth mm-hmm. in terms of, like,
how you work with other people. Yep.
Right. And those were my friends.
Yeah.
The same way, like, Jamar is, like, Jamar is my brother, but, like, I just did not want to go through that with my sister or my brother.
Right.
So, like, it's just better separate business. They're going to always support. And, you know, if the time presents itself, we'll do something.
Right.
True. So.
So we talked about how everybody started off music in our younger years and in our teenage years. So I want to talk about what was your teenage playlist? Like, what was your playlist back in the day that kind of would resonate in your current playlist right now?
Yeah.
Give me 5 songs that you listened to back in the day that you still listen to right now. Top 5.
I still listen to
right now. That you still listen to right now. Songs that you were listening to when you were a teenager that you still listen to right now.
That might not be it because it's like I'm not really listening to anything that I was listening to when I was a teenager right now.
Mm-hmm. Like the Temptations, Christmas music. What? Like you was always listening to that. Faith Evans.
What new songs do you even listen to right now, Jamar? Do you even listen?
Like Future.
That's not even a new artist. That nigga's been around since high school. No. So you could have said that.
You know what? I tell you what. I like the stuff that the young man Leon Thompson. Leon Thomas, is that his name?
Let's go back to the question.
And you know,
what songs back in the day that you listened to, or for you, since you're just this new age man and you don't listen to any throwbacks anymore, what songs do you listen to that resonate in the past that you now don't listen to anymore, but you loved back in the day?
I don't even know what the hell you just asked. So I'm going to just answer the first question you asked, which was, what songs would I consider still listening to? I mean, Mary J. Like, it's hard to just say a song because, like, there's multiple songs from one artist that I would definitely listen to today.
So maybe the question should be, like, what artists were, like, in your playlist?
No, I like my song. I like like, the song. If you, I think everybody is as far as a let me hold on.
Go ahead,
as far as anybody that is a music lover, anybody has that one song that they love that they will always go back to or will always listen to, or that one few songs that they will listen to. For me, I would say I would say for me, it would be Young Love by Chris Brown, This Is Love by Chris Brown, Me, Myself, and I by Beyonce. I would even say Kirk Franklin, Stomp, okay? These are these are songs that I listened to when I was a teenager that I would still listen to right now. Pretty Ricky. Okay, yeah. 5 in the morning, I still let y'all know anytime I'm on my story, I will still, if you follow me on Instagram, I am the main nigga that be
juicy
listening.
For me.
Okay, I will listen to Juicy.
For me. Hey, I'm gonna make it juicy for you.
You be sexy for me. Can you be sexy for me?
I don't remember it, something like that, but yeah, those good songs.
What about you? What was your songs?
I was going to say, I kind of disagree with, like, if you're a music lover or musician that you always got. It's so many songs for me. But if I have to think, like, I know, like, and this might segue into, like, what we're going to probably talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was the girls because I was a Destiny's Child fanatic. Right. Like, it for me, like, it was Destiny's Child and Escape because of my older cousin Latoya. Like, she had traces of my lipstick playing nonstop. Oh, and Maya. Mm-hmm. Maya's album with Case of the X.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
So those three, like, I remember. And then I remember, like, listening to, like, Big Pun because, like, my dad would always play Big Pun and Busta Rhymes and Missy. So for me, it's so many songs. Like, I used to have tapes of songs where I would, like, put the tape in and, like, record the songs on the radio. And then once we had blank CDs, child, you know, you probably remember. I used to have LimeWire. We'd be at Adrian and Michael's house burning CDs down.
That's what I'm saying. And so the crazy so mixes songs that we would even come up with them CDs. Like, there was times where, and as you sitting here talking about DJing, the Temptations and shit like that, like, I would add Temptations and Manhattan songs with Lil Wayne and whoever else was popular at that soul time.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's hard to sit here and say, like, oh, top five songs that I would listen to when I was a teenager. Because I tell you what, I remember when, remember that powder blue fucking car I had my senior year? That shit that you had dropped Gabe's ass off in after he had got, you know, lit up at y'all. I used to ride around in there listening to T.I. Live Your Life.
He's so fucking nice.
Oh, yes. What? But you know what's so nostalgic?
But I'm not listening to that right now.
It's so nostalgic.
I used to love that song. I'm not listening to that right now, probably. If that came on, I'd probably give it like maybe 20 seconds and then I'm turning it.
It what was song just a was moment. It? Live Your Life.
Live Your Life by T.I. and Rihanna.
Okay.
Great song. I loved it when I was 17, 18, riding around that powder blue goddamn shit. Now, 2025.
So you're not listening to that now.
I'm okay, that's not listening to that now.
Ooh, and Khalees.
But I'll tell you what, though. Songs that are always going to resonate with me. All right, this is what I was saying about the question. Teenage years, like, it's songs that I listened to when I was, like, Layden's age, 3 years old, that I just, that still just are stuck in my head. Mary J. Blige, You Are Everything. That song will always be stuck in my head. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We was talking about the OJs last week.
For him to answer this. Literally took this man 20 fucking minutes to answer a fucking question.
That better have been 20 minutes. Literally, we've been here for 2 minutes.
No, because I understand because it's hard to pinpoint one song. Go ahead.
So you gave your song, Gabe?
I literally gave four.
You forgot one.
Yeah, exactly. Because you said five.
Four or five songs.
You forgot one. No,
you gave zero. Both of you guys gave artists. We're moving on.
So I didn't say Mary J. Blige, You Are My Everything.
Where's the rest? What else you got?
Well, we just give.
Do you actually want to listen? Because you was over here talking about how you got 20 minutes to answer the damn question.
You real better.
No, I just it's multiple songs.
You know what? That's okay. That's all right. That's all right.
Because we also came for you. You grew up in like the real church house, so I know a lot of gospel songs resonate with you still to this day.
Right.
For me, a lot of clean up R&B, honey, like the girls, because I used to be with the girls. For you, old school, Mike used to be playing his Faith Evans, you know, Mary J. Blige, all of that. So I think it's
he loved Keisha Cole, too.
Ooh, because Keisha Cole was little Mary.
He did dive into the newer stuff, too. Like, he appreciated the newer stuff.
Some Keisha Cole.
Yeah, it's just so many. I just realized I love the girls. It's just something about the girls for me.
So let's get into this. So you guys were saying that, you know, there was a difference between the music back in the day and what we listen to now. So we can definitely tell and we can see that there was a different type of emotion, a different type of vulnerability, and a different type of expression that the artists provided back in the day that they no longer provide, that some artists and most artists don't provide now. Why do we feel that there is a difference, or why do we feel like that there has been a lack of vulnerability in music?
Can I answer it? So remember last week when we was talking about gentle parenting?
Okay.
Right. Actually, we'll talk about that another time. But anyway, the part that I was talking about with the YNs.
Okay.
Right.
YN.
You've heard that expression before?
Yeah,
YN. Yeah.
We briefly talked about YNs. YNs. You love your YNs?
So
yeah, actually,
anybody could be a YN, but we know what, when people say YN, we know what they're describing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to answer your question, I think a lot of the younger generation and what's producing the music that we listen to today is very much influenced by the YN mindset, which is
there's not a lot of empathy.
There's not a lot of attention to detail, and there's not a lot of, you know, please, please, you know, love me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, okay, no, fuck you then.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just what
city it is. Girl.
So yeah, yeah, city boy, whatever.
Everybody's a city girl and a hot boy.
Right.
Yeah. So
you think the same way?
I think on a I think there's more mainstream popcorn music and like real like music that's like you can kind of like go through the radio and it's the same thing. But I think you just gotta find those dimes in the dozen because there is still great artists. Mm-hmm. Like, rap is different right now, and I have a different feeling about rap because I always wanted to rap so much because it really displayed my pen and my songwriting. Whereas a singer, like, singers can get songs set. Like, Rihanna, we love Rihanna, but Rihanna can do albums back to back because there's people writing and producing.
Right.
But a rapper, like Nicki Minaj, can't pump out album back to back because she's writing her raps. I think now we got people writing, rappers writing other rappers' raps. So it's just, that is a little sensitive to me. But in terms of singers, there's still amazing singers like Coco Jones and Summer Walker. And, you know, even amongst these people that are just like singy, rappy, whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I respect that because even with ELOG days, like we coined the term sapping. Like, I used to do sing rapping, like, before all these bitches. So, at the end of the day, you know, it's just music, I think, always was going to... I say that to say, music always was ahead of its time, and it ends up just catching up with itself. And then it sometimes becomes ahead of its time again. And, you know, it just really depends. But I think people follow the trend and, and the sound of what's hot. Like, the drill sound became hot. Mm-hmm. Then now, I feel like now the sound is, it was a little time where it was like dembow, because they seen Cardi do bongos, and they see these like dembow type songs. Mm-hmm. But it just depends what is on the ear and what everybody's doing and what works. Now it's really like the sexy red sound, the Glorilla sound, like everybody wanna, you know, fuck nigga free, you know. So it's gonna be ever changing.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that music is always ever evolving. But however, I think that the problem is the fact of the I guess the, just like you were saying with the whole gentle parenting thing, but it's kind of like the sensitivity of it all. Yes. I think that back in the day, you know, not saying that it was right all the time, but however, especially, and I'm speaking towards more so with R&B music, because that's kind of, while I do love rap and all of that, but I kind of was raised in like R&B, gospel, all of that. The vulnerability in R&B music is definitely not the same because of the fact of like, I feel like that in R&B music, you pretty much, people would tell you everything that, it was like poetry. You know what I'm saying, in this music, and you would really have to really understand and listen to the words of all of these songs to know what this artist is saying. Nowadays, it's kind of like you said, popcorn, and it's very mid on what exactly the music and songs are. It's very much about mainly sex, and not love or like true affection. And while you do have to find, there are some, like you were saying, Leon Thomas, he's around now. We Avery have, Wilson. Like, you know, Avery Wilson that's doing his thing, Aaron Duran Ballinger. Bernard. You know, there's a lot of artists that are still around that is, like, still showing their vulnerability, but in a different way. But I feel like that because of the sensitivity of the world now and the way that it has formed, people can't be honest anymore.
But you know what? Hold on. Before we go too far in that, because I don't want to lose this moment, you said something that kind of sparked something in me. It's not really, we're not just talking about R&B artists, right? We're talking about rap artists and hip-hop artists as well. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know what? We can't sit here and just put everybody in the same light and the same opinion that artists now and today aren't as honest and aren't as vulnerable, right? And don't paint a picture of what they're feeling and what they've been through, because they've done that for years, and I think they're still doing that today. Like, when I think about Kendrick and I think about J. Cole and I think about, she's actually really good. Mm-hmm. Tyler, the Creator. That's somebody else that I've actually been listening to. All right, you're kind of going left with me, but nonetheless.
You love Doja Cat?
No, that's fine, but I'm just...
Doja is what Doja was showing the world.
The point that I'm trying to make...
That's another conversation.
The point that I'm trying to make is those artists, and as rap artists, I think are still being very vulnerable because they're showing, you know, other people, the world, you know, their POV.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And the way that they're describing it is just getting more and more skillful.
I think the rap artists that you specifically described and you spoke on are completely different than other rap artists that we're speaking on, as far as the drill artists or like the Ice Spices or like the, you know, the people that are popcorn artists that are probably the ones that are going to be there for like 2 seconds.
It's meant to like enjoy yourself while you're in
the summertime, the club,
you know what I mean? An outing, you know.
It doesn't really have much depth or meaning to a lot of the music. So,
but that's you know,
but that's but
different taste. That's if you like it, then you.
And
love.
Also, that's also music as well in general. Because I was gonna say, there's a lot of songs that we've had even in the '90s that weren't necessarily like, you know, doing the butt.
They didn't age well.
They didn't age well, obviously. Mm. So like,
or vice versa. I tell you, listen to it now and we're like, oh shit, I slept on that song.
Right.
I was saying that we was listening to Ralph Transmit Sensitivity on the way here. Like, that's, you know, he was in his feelings at that point in time.
Why you ain't say hit? Like, it's so many artists that I'm like, you listen to so many different artists.
Of course, but it's like, because you...
It's so many.
You know, put me on the spot. It's so many. It's so many.
Before I forget, I'm sorry. It
took him 35 minutes.
We still have not hit that 20-minute mark, so you better stop with that.
Before we move on, I did want to just say, I think the end-all, be-all with that topic that we just discussed is the current state of music too, like streaming.
That was actually going to be my next question.
It's not that there's so, it's just more artists available that like literally, like I can do what the hell, put it out and it can go viral.
Do you think that it helped? Do you think that streaming artists, or do you think that streaming has helped music, or do you think
it helps anybody who wake up tomorrow and want to be a rapper and be an artist? It helps them, but it does hurt the artists that are really the ones that used to go and do showcases like we used to do for labels and sit in front of labels. Now it's like, we don't need a label. I just need something that's catchy. I need the right producer.
Yep.
I need maybe a cute investor, and I can be an independent artist. I can be Robbie Rockington LLC and then release my music without anybody else and blow up. And then social media too is another.
Absolutely. Another, I think that one of the things that, you know, when I went to school in Full Sail, I think that's one of the things that they taught us. They taught us to be our own bosses. They said, so, they taught us to,
cuz they seen where
to,
it was,
yeah, they in. Said they said the first my first class, they told us, my first professor, he told me, they said, you're going to get this degree, it's not going to mean shit.
Because they knew where the music industry was.
So the music industry is not going to be, so it's not going to be shit
said,
to you.
So with all that being said, your professors knowing and predicting the future, and you knowing the algorithm of what any amateur can do, you being the experienced, passionate artist that you are, well, why don't you just take that route and put in that algorithm and... Behind that algorithm. Now, once you get yourself a platform, why don't you take that route, use that algorithm, get yourself a platform, and behind that platform, do what you know how to do, which is produce real music and put it out there. But now you have a platform, so it's a little bit different. Why not just do that?
Well, for me, that's why we always click in terms of like when I would come to you with my music, like in terms of you, whether it be managing or just be a listening ear, like you always get it. Like that's literally where I'm at with my music. I've wrote music from the soul. Like my album Real One is literally called Real One because it's literally like me. Like it was me finally knowing who I was and just writing what came from my experience and from my heart. But I feel like people don't want to, people like it, but in terms of like a lengthy project, people don't want to hear that. So what I'm doing now is I'm doing what is fun to me. Like I like me a little Glorilla and Ice Spice and a what's the boy name, Ace Boogie with the hoodie. Like I like that sound. So, like, I'm going to have fun with that sound for me. Mm. And then, like, as a consumer and a listener, like, it's like, yeah, just tap into that. So my music that I'm in the studio right now doing, I'm definitely like, all right, like, if it's not about making it for me anymore. It's about me enjoying the art. Mm. And I believe through that process, what's going to happen is going to happen. But I want to definitely, like, bitch, I need a coin. So I'm trying to make that hit that, you know, hopefully will take us there. And that is the process that I'm taking. Like y'all will hear my new music, and for y'all be like, you never wrote a song like that. You know what I'm saying? Or that's probably not your sound or whatever. And I have people in my circle that are telling me that, you know, I'm literally, like, against the wall by myself. Like, I have people telling me, like, you need to just be a producer and a songwriter because, like, you're just going left field. And it's like, no, like, I've always had this in me. I've always wrote. People don't even know I've ghostwritten for a lot of people, but you can't really speak on it. You just collect your little check, your little coin, and you go about your business.
So I guess the next question is, like, does that make you feel, like, how does that make you feel going outside of your lane to try to obtain what you're trying to obtain? It's not, we're not going to say making it, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you, as long as you're, you know, good in the eyes of God, you made it. You
know, for me, it's easy because I got into a space where I had writer's block for a while, just probably from a number of different personal things. Mm-hmm. But I got into that space of, like, I was writing for other people. So I'm writing these songs. And I'm like, oh, these are kind of good. This is mine. Like, I'm going to keep this song. And it's not a song that I would have written on my own accord. So for me, it doesn't feel forced. It's just, like, it just feels weird, like, when I'm in the studio recording it and hearing it back and, like, even performing it. Like, the show that I just did, I previewed my new single, Eat It, that I'm about to drop. I've never done a song like Eat It where the hook is just two fucking words. I'm just repeating it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's a vibe. It's a dance record. It's high energy, and it's gonna be cute for the summer.
So how do you think that you're balancing, because of the fact that you're saying that you're now creating music that you would say is kind of trending. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that you're balancing your authenticity with you being your authentic self as an artist through also, I wouldn't say conforming to what the industry likes, but pleasing to what the music that the industry
giving
likes.
Them what they want.
It's or like giving a, them what they
it's
want.
Like a fiend and a hustler. Like, listen, I'm gonna give you what you want, but you gonna give. But I'm also, I gotta give me what I want too, type of thing. So, I got my bops. You know what I'm saying? I got, you know, the things that's gonna wake them up. I have a single called Juice that it's so scary to me because I sit with my engineer. Like, I was just in the studio and he's like, this is the one. Like, the clubs, you need to be in with, and you always in a club, you need to be in every DJ's face. You need to be at every radio sent. Like, you need to, like, to really push this song. So those songs are great, but the way that I balance myself is I'm still always writing what's authentic to me. Like, one of my favorite songs that I've released is Cry. I don't know if y'all remember Cry. Mm-hmm. Cry. Mm-hmm. So I recently, with Ty Mitch, like, Cries, 2020, like, 2020 is a song that I love. So finding songs like that, like Little Sisters and Brothers songs to those songs to still, like, you know, I'm going to give the world what they want, but I still got to write what I want because it's going to sit inside of me. I have to let it out. I have to let those real emotions and feelings out.
So then with that being said, so your fans should still be able to expect you to release your authentic
absolutely.
Music on top of you trying to, you know, again, we're not going to use the word conform, but give the other people what they want.
Give them what's familiar. It may be unfamiliar as it pertains to Robbie Rockin.
How far are you willing to go when it comes to giving the other people what they want?
Well, we'll just have to see. My project will be dropping this summer. Okay. Well, let me rewind. My single will be dropping this summer, and then we're going to see from there. Because I think, too, people love to release projects and say, I'm releasing an album. People don't want to hear that shit. People want to hear, unless it's a conceptual body of work, like Dolce, for example, which that took months for people to really grasp. You know what I'm saying? You just need to release singles. Like, for me, like, I'm just going to be releasing singles. Single visual. Until, you know what I'm saying?
I think that's the formula now. I think that's the best formula because of the fact that the way that society and the way that the world is so... they want constant. They don't want anything.
I can still get booked off of... I can release the same song. And still get booked and perform my catalog and perform new songs rather than putting all this money into this project to get... Like, it's just... I'm just trying to make more sense of it because I'm really, like, everything is on my own.
And what you also realize as well, nowadays, a lot of these artists, even back in the day artists, like artists that we loved back in the day, they don't necessarily, even in their concerts, they don't perform their new songs like that. Like, I just went to the Usher concert... He didn't perform all of his. He literally performed probably four songs of his new songs. You gotta think
his catalog is just like
so.
It's extensive. Yes,
but real fans want to hear.
But real fans want to hear those old songs. They don't want to hear. But as an artist, as an artist though, you want to play your new music. So you can't. But you have to also understand though that the audience, that's not what they want to hear. So like just like you said. You know, you can go, I've seen it. You've literally have gone to shows, you know, you perform songs that you have written and done like 2 years prior to, and you still performing them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's still rocking.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's actually something that I also wanted to ask as well. So, like, what actually for you, what's been something that's been unexpected for you, like an unexpected lesson in the music industry that has taught that you know, that you are learning from or that you has taught for you?
I guess I'll just say, like in general, like, overall, and this is what I will always say because the girls be feeling it, and you just have to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I can sit here and go down the, like, we just kind of was touching on, like, how long we've been doing this, right? And we didn't even go into detail of all the rooms we were in and, you know, the things we've done. Mm-hmm. The point is that doesn't matter. In the music industry, like, it does not matter what you've done. It's all about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is not even enough now because, bitch, like, it's like, all right, what else? You can drop something, and it's like, what else? Cardi B is an example of that. Cardi B gave y'all, like, what? She gave y'all enough. She gave y'all bongo. Like, and it's still not enough because they set this high standard, whoever they is. And it's like, so you just got to be consistent.
Yep.
And you really just have to... stop thinking about making it and pleasing people. So that's the thing, too. Like, the songs that I'm releasing is not even about pleasing people. It's about, for me, having fun. Because I also am a performer. So, like, y'all know I love to get on the stage and perform and be my best Beyonce, honey. But...
this is true.
Sit your ass down. But, sorry. But, so I wanted... Y'all know the songs that I'm mostly releasing that y'all have heard are more like, you know, mid-tempos. I wanted some up-tempos. I want to be able to, you know, do my little dancing. You know, so it's not about conforming. It's just about being consistent. And, like, you, it's really, it doesn't matter what you've done. Like, so many people, like, people wake up every day and they want to rap. And it's like, I just look and it's like, live your dream. Live your best life. But it is a little distasteful.
Are you ready for the work?
Because, like, I've been doing this almost... half my life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't plan on giving up. And one of my songs I'm going to be releasing, like, I say, like, oh, Robbie, you still rapping over 30? Like, yes, sure am. Still look good. I'm still pressure and highly favored, still blessed. Amen. Because God don't play about me. None of my business what a hater got to say about me. Just hop up off D's like J-I-D. You could be whatever, but whoever, but they not me. Like, it's just like, it doesn't matter. Like, you have to... I can be 40.
Mm-hmm.
It's like about, if I'm doing it for me and I know like I'm being authentic, it's going to touch people, whether it's 100 people, whether it's 100,000 people. So, you know, it just is what it is.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So now, obviously, you know, we're going, you know, let's touch on this real quick. I'm not going to say obviously because I'm not going to just categorize you as for what your identity is. But, you know. You've been saying the girls for, you know, pretty much half this fucking episode, so.
The girl.
So, you know, we can all say that you are one of the girls. So, as one of the girls, how do you feel, or like what importance do you play, do you feel that you should play as a queer man, a queer black man in the music mm-hmm. space? What, you know, what importance and how do you stand and how will you move and how do you navigate that in this music industry? Because as we already know, the music industry, it does not, as I mean, now it's been a little bit more lenient, but it's still very difficult. Exactly. There still is some things that, and some drama that happens with the LGBTQ community. So how do you navigate as a queer black man in playing a role in this community and in this industry?
So for a while for me, I really tried to separate who I am versus what I do mm-hmm. and what I love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't want to be a gay rapper or LGBTQIATSRV rapper.
LMNOP. Right.
I am a rapper who happens to be gay. Like, right. But who I love doesn't define my music, because I was doing music before I even knew who I was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me to like kind of not identify, but kind of be a role of a LGBT pioneer rap. You know, so I think for me, I've worked with different people that pushed me to be like, no, like be yourself, like be yourself through your music. You don't have to change what you're saying mm-hmm. or how you're doing it, but if you wanna throw on a certain look while you're performing, like, it's like, yeah, no, like, I'm gonna sit up here in a motherfucking bodysuit, in a fur, in a boot, but I'm gonna out-rap all these niggas on this bill. You know what I'm saying? So it's been challenging, but what I feel is, and I'm glad you said black, queer.
Yes.
Because it's a difference.
Yes.
Because there is absolutely. Queer, because the Sam Smiths.
Yes.
And the even... God forgive me. Even like Lil Nas X.
Yes, no shade.
And even Billy Porter.
Yes.
And even back to RuPaul. Like, it's a little YT wash. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's still not representative. I mean, we're going to take what we can get.
Right.
Even with Saucy. You feel
right,
me?
Right.
But I want my black queer artists to be able to sit in a room with Kendrick mm-hmm. and Jay-Z. And like, it don't, like, Frank Ocean was one of the people that I think stuck out.
Yeah.
That I'm like.
And was actually starting to make a movement and started to kind of show a representation.
Pushed his
his identity.
Yeah. So,
do you think that? So, actually, not that I'm happy that you brought that up. So, with Frank Ocean, right? Because I don't think he came out until after, like, he was
after the
a little bit, successful, you know, in his music and was in rooms like. With Jay-Z and stuff like that, and then it came out and was
but
like,
they all knew.
He came out the album, the Orange album. That's when pretty much when
I'm sure, which is wild to me, because it's like you in the room with these people that definitely probably know, but now when it comes to the world knows, now it's like, so like you want to talk about that? Like, so
I think
you think that the industry just wasn't ready at that time? When was that, like? That was definitely like 2010s.
We were still in high school.
No, it was after high school. It was like in college.
We was in high school.
Early 2010s.
Maybe we were graduate. Y'all mm-hmm. graduated. I know I was still in high school.
Yeah, I was graduated in 2010. Yeah.
What I would say is, and I'm going to use Frank Ocean, I'm going to use, what's the girl name? Lil Nas X. Mm. I think Frank Ocean is, one, he's a singer, songwriter. He's so talented. He's a producer. I think those people loved on him. Mm. Jay-Z and them loved on him. Bring your nigga. Like, come on. Hey, boo. Hugs, kisses, mwah, mwah. Hey, girl, yes, all that. But when it comes to the music, don't give them all of that, because it's going to take away from the music. Lil Nas X, I think he's super talented. Like, I think his team is phenomenal. He gives a look. But because he's pushing his sexuality and the gay thing, it don't seem authentic to me.
Mm.
Like, even especially when the song with him and... what's the white boy name? Sorry.
Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow.
Oh,
okay. I didn't like that whole movement.
Yeah.
Like, and I love what I saw what they were trying to do, but it just seemed so forced.
Right.
So I think when you push your sexuality sometimes and you push too much,
it can be forced.
It can take away from the music.
Absolutely. You know what I feel like it is? I feel like that, because, you know, in the beginning, you stated that you didn't want to be a quote-unquote gay artist, or you didn't want to say that this is who I am. I feel like the reason of music is identifying and expressing your feelings and expressing who you are and what you like. So obviously, when we have artists like straight artists, they are speaking about their straight life. We would
not
hope
all of
so.
Them. Not
we
all
would
of
hope
them.
So. We would hope
no,
so.
To
say no, we
so,
would hope so.
That's, no, that's a great point.
But hold on, let me finish my thought real quick.
Go ahead, go ahead.
So, like, what I'm saying is that I feel like that the reason why that people want to, it's not that they want to know, but it's that you should be open and you should be able to express yourself and your feelings and the things that you want to do and how you want to express without any judgment or any type of malice. So, Absolutely. You know, I just think that that's the issue there because of the fact of people just be nosy, but then people also want to know, okay, well, who are you talking about in this song? Because
I was gonna say a lot of them straight people was probably talking,
which
about,
is true. They probably
you think
are.
Talking about
they
Joanne
not.
And
they talking about
Joey.
Okay, so, and that's no shade, but that's another thing that you had stated as well about the industry. The industry probably already is privy to the information about who this person is. We can give a prime example of Luther Vandross.
That's literally what I was just getting ready to say.
I knew you was gonna say that.
That's literally what I was about to say.
So yeah,
what about Luther Vandross? Luther Vandross has given us countless numbers of hits for decades.
He ain't talking about his lady.
And he's not talking about
it. And nobody could say that they know for certain that Luther Vandross was talking about another. I tell you what, because I watched this documentary, one of his songs, which if you listen to it now, you even think, and you listen to the words that he's saying, you're like, damn, this is some sad shit. Wait for Love. Mm-hmm. Wait for Love. You know what I mean? Like, if you really listen to that song, like, my man's just talking about like trying to find the right love and without being judged and wanting to just have that.
Because the hoes was throwing the pussy at Luther now.
I'm sure they were.
I'm sure they were.
They loved him. He was on Oprah show. They loved Luther.
Okay.
But at the end of
the hoes be throwing their pussy at anybody, honey. Okay.
Listen, but I'm saying like that was literally the example that I was getting ready to say.
And I knew you
was Luther.
Yeah, Luther Vandross.
And
that's
why I was gonna say I didn't want to jump in before you, but there's so many artists that, like you said, the team is privy, but they be like, I know you want to express yourself, but you got to change that to she. You can't talk about he or you,
right.
or artists like me, I don't necessarily say he, she. I leave it very like up to the imagination because I want my, like the shit I'm talking about, niggas could relate to it too. Like I want it to be versatile.
Not verse.
No. But you know what? No.
Unisex. Sorry.
No, but.
I'm in my verse. My verse era.
I'm gonna give you this, Rob. I'm gonna give you this, Rob, because we have been writing music for decades now.
Yes.
At this point, right?
I was just listening to VIP
to be able to do what we were doing, as far as writing and composing songs, and that's why I wanted to use Luther as an example because this man was composing and putting together songs. You know what I mean? Like, it's more than just writing some shit. Like, when you put together a song, you compose some shit, like, that takes pure talent to know what goes where. You know what I mean? And the things that we were doing, I'm not saying that we were doing it to that level at 12 years old, but we were, like, putting together songs. So, to do that,
we didn't finish a song in one day. Like, it took us time.
We would go back. And that's the thing. Like, and it just didn't take one of us. So, to do that at, like, 12 years old, and for you to understand the concept of that now, to like leave your songs open like that, to not, you know, personalize them to just one gender, that takes talent. That takes, you know, awareness.
And not for nothing,
you've been doing it, you know.
My new single, I'm talking about the nigga that I want that want to eat it. So it just really depends.
Right.
So, like, you know,
we love it.
Really, but I'm also, you know.
Because we need niggas. We need good eaters.
Right.
We need good eaters.
But I bet you the niggas is going.
They
going to
gag, and I'm going to love it.
My engineer told me,
good eater.
It's this hood ass nigga. And he said, yo, this nigga is a hustler. Like, he got niggas under him. And he heard eat it. And he was like, yo, this is a hit. Like, and he didn't give a fuck that I but said.
The voice is what's really sending. Why Ann and the cup
want to get close? He begging to eat it and send him to eat. Like, he don't care about that. He just
He's imagining it to be probably a woman.
And I'm not rapping it. I'm rapping it how I rap. Like, I'm not rapping it like trying to, oh, because I'm talking about a guy, let me be a little more sassy. Like, no, I'm rapping it like still like a nigga. Like, but yeah, I'm talking about my nigga.
We love to eat.
You've always had that talent to just still rap like a nigga.
Yeah, well.
We love a eater. I love this new single.
No, Eat It is about to eat it. And it's very Jersey.
All right.
It's going to be cute. Y'all going to be in the video.
Okay.
We do, yeah, we
give me a cameo. Talk to my
y'all
agent.
Gotta come to New York though, because it's very Ice Spice. I'm trying to be in a grocery store, honey. Like, oh, okay. It's gonna be real cute. We're gonna probably be in Fort West in the basement. It's gonna be cute.
Okay, so let's to wrap things up. So please, first and foremost, let us know. Like you just said, you have a single called "Eat It." Yes. So when is that coming out? Tell us everything that you have coming out, everything that you got going on, and where can we find it?
So right now, I'm in the process of rebranding some things that I can't necessarily speak on right now. So, like, my music is transferring over from where it was to where it's going. So, I do have it my...
Sounds like labels, but it's okay. Let's move on.
It's situations. Mm-hmm. But I have music out now on all streaming platforms. If it's not, it's because of the switch. And until we launch, it won't. Like, the music is not, like, Real One is not live on certain platforms until I launch.
You launched the year.
Right. But that's out now. You can still, I know it's still on Apple Music, Real One, Classic. My new project, I'm Good Thanks, is coming out this summer.
Okay.
Hopefully. But Eat It will definitely be coming this summer. I don't have a date yet because I want to do things how I want to do it.
Are we thinking early summer? Because technically the summer is next month.
Yeah, so you're gonna be able to eat it all summer.
Well, I already eat it, so.
Well,
you're
really gonna be able to eat it, it's gonna come early summer because I want Juice to follow up. So in the summer, everything is coming soon. The Circle NYC season 7, the finale is like coming up. Season 8 will be premiering this summer, so everything will be simultaneously. I'm like.
Trying a little rollout.
Yeah, it's a whole rollout, and it's a whole thing, and I'm still in the studio. I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit, so I'm still in the studio, so until I feel right about things, you know, I can't really put dates on it, but everything is coming this summer.
And where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Robbie, Robbie, Rockington, Rockington. You can find me on SoundCloud, any streaming platform. Please watch The Circle. Go subscribe to watch Our View TV. Season 6.
It's not on
YouTube? Well, it's on YouTube, but that's the channel. Watch Our View TV. Mm-hmm. Our View TV.
Okay, watch Our View TV.
Yeah, that's the channel.
I'll be watching on YouTube.
Well, if you type in Our View, that's the channel you go to on YouTube.
Oh, that's the way I subscribe to. You know what?
But, like, the person that posted The Circle
is Our View TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I have a lot of special things coming with the network. And, you know, it's just a lot of things coming. Peaches with a Z Experience, May 23rd.
Shout out to Peaches.
I think by the time this air, we'll announce it, but I will be performing alongside Peaches at her show.
Yes!
At the Delancey. Get your tickets now. $15. It's going to be so, like, very unplugged experience. We're performing our hit single Bird, which is also coming. So it's like so
we
many
got
things.
Birds. We eating it. It's, we got
listen,
birds.
Listen, like,
doing
I'm outside this summer. I'm single. This. I'm big bingo. Like, I'm just living my best life.
Niggas
very
a single,
era,
honey. Okay, I know
era.
That's right. We love
yes.
to see it.
Yes, we outside, baby.
All right, well, that's going to be it, y'all. Thank you guys so, so much.
Thank y'all for having me. I just want to say congratulations on the show. Y'all doing y'all big one, and I love that this link up, because I always saw you on a podcast, and you know this is your juice.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that y'all doing the damn thing.
Thank you, bro.
And it's different. And it's substantial. Like, it's not just y'all just on here, like, just talking about anything. Like,
right.
There's a
little depth. We got some things we talking about.
So
thank you, friend. You know, well, thank you for having. Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, we were so happy to have you.
Anytime. Thank you for coming, Robert. Honey.
And you know, as always, on the How Do We Get Here podcast, where your thought gets caught. We love you. Be safe. Be blessed. Like and subscribe. Hit that button. Do all that. Peace.
See y'all later.
Yes, honey.
Who was you talking to on the side?